Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, April 30th. I'm Ray Graff, Pets and Vets today, and joining us is Dr. Susan Ciculli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland at Saratoga, and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. So if you have a question about kitty or doggy, give us a call, 800-348-2551. If you have a yak, you're out of luck, 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org is the email, and the number is 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets, Dr. Ciculli, Dr. Dallas, and your questions coming up right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff, Pets and Vets today, and here to take your calls, Dr. Susan Ciculli of Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Saratoga, right? Saratoga, too, yeah. Change the script. Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. Dr. Ciculli is a vet who has been specializing in feline care for more than 25 years. Dr. Dallas also has been in the game for a while, specializes in treatment of chronic health issues using an integrative approach with an emphasis on Chinese medicine. If you have a question for our vets today, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Susan Ciculli, how are you?
I'm great, Ray, and I love that Mets shirt you have
you
on
like
there.
That?
I do.
I've been wearing it proudly lately.
I heard.
Yes.
They are doing well.
It's very
so
exciting.
Far.
You know, it seems like I've seen you recently.
I think we were here last month.
It feels like it was like
great.
Last week.
You two are the hardest working vets on radio, I'll tell you that. Dr. Dallas, how are you, Chris?
I'm doing well. I'm so happy that it's sunny out, and I do not take it for granted. Every time I walk outside, I feel myself breathe, and it
beautiful
is,
blue
yeah.
sky.
It's amazing. Yeah,
fantastic. All right. Anything you guys want to bring up before we get to the emails? We'll start with those.
Go for it.
I don't have anything
jump
new
right
to
in.
Share.
Yeah.
All right. So we're all a little low energy today. All right, that's fine. Frank writes in. What kind of holistic treatments are available for cats dealing with joint pain and or arthritis? That's from Frank.
Wow. Dr. Ciculli, you want to share your experience? Dr. Ciculli and I met actually at the acupuncture training
really?
Out in San Diego 20 years ago.
20
actually,
years
it was
ago.
20 years ago.
Did you practice on each other?
We did not know each other here at all.
Really?
We go to California, take this class. That's 4 months in the... we do it for 4 months, 1 week at a time.
Right.
And
you go back to San Diego four
times. Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Oof.
I planned that specifically during the winter months.
Yes.
It was great.
Yeah. I was living in the Bay Area, so for me it was.
You were. Okay.
But I moved back here midway
right.
through the course, and then we studied together. And so Dr. Ciculli's trained in acupuncture.
All right, so
as
what
well.
Do you think?
Which I haven't really used as much. I think I use the holistic part of it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have been noticing is we use the Solensia injection, which is not holistic,
right?
It's our monoclonal antibody. And sometimes that doesn't work, or the cat may have side effects from it. So we're going back again toward using holistic is using laser a little bit more. The Assisi loop.
Assisi loop, yeah.
I think that's been really helpful. Mm-hmm. So
what
I'd love
that?
To hear your input on it a little bit more.
The Assisi loop is a pulse electromagnetic device. And studies have shown that it has about the same efficacy as a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a really nice option. And a lot of our patients already maxed out on medications. And so you start them on a PEMF device and it can really, round out their pain management.
Cool.
Yeah. And I encourage my clients to use them too, to try them out. So interestingly though, you may not have this perspective because you only work on cats, but I have found cats to be exquisitely sensitive to acupuncture, like much more so than dogs.
Okay.
They don't need as many needles. They just seem to get it.
Okay.
So if they're receptive, I put them right up there with horses in terms of how sensitive they are.
That
whereas,
makes sense.
Yeah, others, and I don't know why that is actually. Yeah. If it's a neurologic thing or a I don't know. I'm not sure. But so that I love acupuncture for cats. Yeah. And I have had cats come to me for years on end once they have the lower back pain or they're having trouble getting in their litter box. And people just notice that like it kind of stops the progression of aging for a period of time.
Wow.
And they
amazing.
Just age more gracefully. So and that's true for dogs as well. But this is a cat question, so.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
This
good
one,
question.
Thank
yeah.
you for that, Frank. We appreciate the question. This is from Tom in Gardner. What accounts for my 5-year-old Maine Coon cat to accidentally on purpose not use her litter box?
Accidentally on purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, many, many, many
Wait,
possibilities.
5-year-old?
5-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Not the back pain.
That requires a lot of questionnaire. Yeah. We have a whole behavioral questionnaire associated with that.
Really?
Yeah, because it could be medical, it could be behavioral, and it really takes a little bit of detective work. Is it both urinations right. and defecation? Mm-hmm. Then I lean more toward behavioral. But
interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think cats do it out of spite.
They can.
I'm not getting enough attention. I mean, guess what? Have a little of this, you know?
Oh, no.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think that. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, but more stress, maybe. I could see it being stress. Yeah. And, you know, one thing I learned in a behavior course was that this, when they defecate outside the litter box, it often is an indication that they've had at least one painful experience defecating. So now there's an aversion to the litter box.
Uh-huh.
Whereas with the urination, it's a much more complex series of history taking.
It's a very good point. I just had a client that we're working through a very chronic diarrhea case and was constantly never using litter box. And now occasionally we've got the stools being much more normal, appearing and firm, and the cat's finally starting to use the litter box some. And that's exactly what I said to them. Yeah. I think they associate the pain of that diarrhea to saying, nope, I don't want to use that litter box.
Yep.
And so we think that spite, right? Like I'm going to. Whatever, but it's really they're pretty intentional in their actions. I think the cats are.
So Ray's like, this is my theory. I'm sticking with it.
Here we go. All right.
My cat doesn't respite.
No, my cat.
Cat's great.
My cat's very good about that sort of thing. Christian writes in concern regarding my dog's organs. Good afternoon, Chris in Medusa. I've an 8-year-old pit bull terrier named Bubby. He has always been very healthy, had a bout of salmonella from a peanut butter bone once, but no other serious incidents. Beginning 2 months ago, he began to drink entire bowls of water in one sitting. And this has become so frequent that it's a bowl and peeing right afterward once an hour. Is this an organ-related issue? And that's from Christian.
Yes, quite possibly. That is definitely the one thing I tell people to make an appointment with their veterinarian and have blood work done. Bring a urine sample so they don't have to try to catch one there. And there's a huge list of things that could be. Anything from Cushing's disease, which is caused by an overproduction of cortisol, to a liver dysfunction, to a primary kidney problem. So there's a
diabetes.
Long list. Diabetes, yeah. Correct?
Right.
The list goes on. So
a lot of the things that affect humans, basically.
Oh, sure. Yes, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, that's actually the one thing people like to hear that they're, you know, like to say that their dogs drink a lot of water, and that's usually a red flag for me.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, my cat drinks a lot of bourbon. So, no, I'm kidding, of course. The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Pets and Vets Today with Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas. One more email, then we'll hit the phones, and then, I should say, take a break, and then hit the phones. Allison writes in, my 7-year-old cat has now experienced hair loss on her back legs in the spring 2 years in a row. We thought it might be stress last year as we introduced a new rescue dog to the house. We treated the anxiety. The hair grew back. But this year, we've had no household changes and the same hair loss pattern has appeared. Do you have any thoughts? CBC/chem normal and no observable additional grooming. And that's from Allison.
Oh, I'm dying to hear this because I have a case right now.
Really?
Challenging.
It's the same one.
It's weird that it resolved, you know, if it's just seasonal. So I do sometimes think it could be a seasonal allergy. Mm-hmm. I do see cats do that. And it seems to be when the grasses are coming out or the pollens are out. I guess I also, because I'm, you know, a cat-only practice, I blame that dog just in case there might be the fleas. So make sure that you put them on flea treatment from it. We have definitely seen some good response with some of the hypo the hyposensitization mm-hmm. that's now available with Heska.
And oh, good.
I'd love to know your thoughts on some of the natural supplements, you know, the...
For seasonal or environmental allergies, I have a hard time
addressing
them. I will sometimes have success with some of the Chinese herbal formulas that address wind.
Okay.
But a lot of dogs and cats are resistant to them. So I am also turning to immunotherapy, which is a commitment. It's not, an instant fix, but I think of it as homeopathy, right? Cures like.
Yep.
People can administer it at home. It's affordable. And so I'm using that more and more. For the longest time, I was only referring cases to the dermatologist because we were taught that they had to also have the transdermal injections, but they really aren't using them necessarily
anymore.
They're
not. The blood tests that we're using are pretty...
pretty effective and accurate.
Accurate. Yeah. Other than the diets, as we talk about.
Yes,
just not
interesting.
Working.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're going to blame the dog, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously.
We'll take a break here. 800-348-2551. Before we go to the break, Dr. Sekula, you've been specializing in cats for what, over 25 years,
30,
right?
Actually. I'd have to 30? Change that yeah, little thing.
Yeah. The script is from 2016, so we might as well. So my question for you, and I know we've talked about this, what is it exactly you hate about dogs? No?
I love dogs. Oh, okay. I just like working with cats better.
All right, fair enough. let's just leave that alone. We'll take a break. 800-348-2551. We'll be back. Todd Nelson, dog leg panhandle. How appropriate. It's Pets and Vets today. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. It's Pets and Vets. It's Dr. Susan Sekula, Dr. Chris Dallas, and the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. But let's grab a call, shall we? Mike is in Athens. Mike, you're on.
Hey, Ray. First time, long time.
Hey, welcome.
I have a 16-year-old, 55-pound terrier who had a stroke about this time last year, and the doctors at that time gave her like 3 to 6 months to live, and obviously we're a year into this, and so she is thriving in her own special way, but age, she's getting older every day, and she has just been sleeping like so much more, harder to get out of bed, and she also has terrible back leg arthritis, and she's starting to have trouble pooping, which makes me think that she's even becoming lazier and has less desire to go outside and do anything. And I guess, I don't know, winter was really hard with her, and I feel like we're excited about summer and spring, and in a way, like, trying to look at this summer as the last summer, but at the same time, just trying to, you know, like, make sure she's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've been there myself, so I do know what it's like. Is she happy to see you when you come home? Is she aware that when you come home?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Can she greet you at the door?
Yeah.
Or
is
she able to wait? Is she able to walk?
No, she'll pop her head up.
Okay.
Yeah, she can walk-ish, you know, she's very wobbly. She needs some help. She needs some help standing up. And when she's pooping, I have to like kind of get underneath her and like support her body.
This is a very sweet time in a dog's life, and it's also, you know, it's kind of bittersweet because, as you know, it's, you know, kind of her golden time, and it's her time is waning for sure. So first of all, you know, your ability to care for her is important, and if it's really stressful, like, that should be part of your equation. And so don't forget to, you know, consider your own lifestyle and you know, the stress level of caring for a senior.
That's a good point.
Yeah. You know, age is not a disease, so it can really make a decision about whether or not to help her pass very difficult. But for now, I think, you know, if she's sleeping all day, that's completely normal. You know, I like to think of a 16-year-old dog as just like, you know, the grandma who can't really make it past the front porch, but is happy to just watch everybody go by.
That's right.
And it's a really, like, I'm personally looking forward to that time in my life because my life is very busy. And I can't wait to be the grandma on the porch with a blanket on my legs and just watch the whole world in their busy way. So, you know, don't, like, she's okay. Dogs can teach us a lot about aging. They are very much in the moment. She does not mourn her youth, the loss of her youth. She is not afraid of what's coming. Those are all human thoughts. She is just here every day, and she's happy to see you come home. And if she's eating and she's greeting you, she's okay. So, you know, I had to make a difficult decision when my beagle, he was about 18, and he could not walk for the last 9 months of his life. He was in a diaper, which I never thought I would get to that point. But I didn't know, you know, at what time. I mean, are we still okay? He seemed okay. I wasn't okay. Finally, the tipping point for me was he was circling. I thought he had a brain tumor, but I think he just had severe brain atrophy. But he was circling in one direction. And at one point, when he would circle, he couldn't keep his diaper on anymore. And he would be sitting in his he'd be sitting in his urine. And I was like, you know what? I think that's it. I think that's now he's stressed, I'm stressed, and I can't keep him clean and dry. And so for me, that was when we decided, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done because again, there was not that clear day, that clear moment. So you know, this is a really long conversation and probably too much to have here, but talk to your veterinarian, you know, give me a call, whatever you need to do, but don't hurt your back when you're lifting her. There's a wonderful harness called the Help 'Em Up harness. And you can.
We got that.
Okay,
great.
Okay, good. I was going to say.
And did the CZ loop, which I can vouch for being a very awesome thing.
And
lots of drugs and vitamins and all the stuff.
Great. And there's a wonderful, we have a wonderful practice in this area called In the Comfort of Home. And they have a really, on their website, they have a really nice quality of life assessment. And you can just, you know, once a month, check in on that. I think you're going to find if she's clean and dry and eating and you know, not actively seizuring every day, I think you're going to find her quality of life index is pretty high. So, you know, that's just a way to kind of check in on that yourself.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it very much.
That's a hard one. Yeah, that's a good conversation, though. Thank you. Yeah. Very nice words of wisdom because we all face that, right?
Yeah.
When every one of us that owns an animal, if they live to that age.
It's really hard.
A tough one, and it hits you, boy. It just, I mean, you just feel it in your chest.
And I encourage people also to find friends who can come over and give them a little break so you can go take a day hike or, like, really be gone for the day because sometimes it really does take a village to take care of
them. I'm pretty depressed now. I'm going to be honest with you.
It's a sweet time. It's bittersweet. It's really, this is my favorite time in a pet owner and a pet's life is
the end.
Yeah, I love guiding people through this time.
Grim Reaper? So. What the heck?
No,
so
it's
we
special.
Balance each other out because I love the kitten-ness and the puppiness. So
I'm a geriatrician for sure. I love geriatrics.
All right, people, listen, if you got a happy pet story, give me a call. 800-348-2551. I need a little perking up here. 800-348-2551 if you have a pet question for Dr. Sekulli and Dr. Dallas. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Kim and Niska Yuna writes, I called last year about our 7-year-old cat who has had respiratory allergies for a long time. The vet at the time suggested trying Serenia, which is generally for dogs, but for which she thought a quarter of a pill each time would be beneficial. This treatment has not altered the symptoms too much, but the poor thing just looks so miserable because his nose gets stuffed and he sneezes. Are there any other treatments recommended to try?
We just had this conversation. Dr. Dallas and I, as I walked in, I just worked up a case that's a, what we call a chronic snuffler, right?
Yeah.
It is a challenge for cat owners that own a cat that has respiratory sneezing that she's describing. And I joked because I took a class and the whole day was spent on just this one condition on how to work this up. We think there's some respiratory herpes related to it. We most times, and then there's just some inability for this cat to have normal mucosa. So if it were a human, really, they do the neti pot or those, you know, nasal flushes, and that would help tremendously cats.
You cannot do a neti pot for a cat, right? No, please tell me that that is not a possibility.
Oh, but if I could, I would want to, all right. to flush it out, because that's what's happening with this cat that she's describing.
Yeah.
So we're trying, instead of like Serenity or medication, I'm trying to shift toward a little bit more holistic, and I'm just trying like saline drops. And maybe some antiviral, you know, maybe approach it from a famciclovir point of view.
What do you think, Dr. Dallas?
They're tough, too. Yeah, I'll try to get them off processed food.
You do it dietarily,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, okay. And then I'll usually give them, if they'll take it, this is what's hard about cats, is they don't usually do what they're asked, but I'll try to get them on some sort of immune support. And that works maybe 50%
like
of the time.
A supplement,
okay. Exactly. So unprocessed food, if possible, which, again, they often don't want to eat. And that's why I just find cats incredibly difficult, because the interventions are often not welcome.
Here's a thought. You just do the dogs.
Yeah.
You do the cats. Everybody will be happy, right? Well, that's
hope
interesting.
That helps.
Yeah. You know,
and it's and know that
there's
it's
no good answer
yeah,
there. Does anybody do like IgA infusions?
What's
or,
IgA?
IgA is the mucosal. It's the immunoglobulin that is more geared towards our mucosal surfaces. Has anybody done anything like that?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll look into that.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. Number here is 800-348-2551 if you have a pet question for Dr. Sekulli and Dr. Dallas. It's Pets and Vets, 800-348-2551 or voxpop at wamc.org for your email. Tim is in Ware, Massachusetts. Tim, you're on.
Hi. My question is about my cat, my 7-year-old female cat.
Okay.
She for about the past year, she won't use the litter box for poop anymore, it seems. She will use it sometimes. She tried to poop on my couch one day.
Ooh.
And she'll go by a door. So I just don't know what I'm doing wrong. I clean her litter box every day when I get home. It's not the perfumey litter. It's the low dust and everything. And I just think I'm doing everything right. I'm not sure what's happening with her.
So this goes back to my conversation about how to work this up more is I need a lot more from a history standpoint. Like, when did it start? Do you have other cats in the house? When did it start?
No, I don't have other cats.
Okay.
I don't have other cats. It has started about a year ago.
Okay. And are the stools normal? Are they softer, harder?
Yes.
Okay.
Nope, they're normal.
Okay.
And sometimes it's just a little tiny one, and sometimes it's not the whole one. And sometimes she'll go in the litter box, but then come out and do more outside of the litter box.
Does she ever look like she's straining to go?
No.
And have you had her at the veterinarians for a complete physical?
Yeah, last year she was there.
Okay,
she
so
goes
yearly.
To the vet whenever.
Okay,
yeah.
Can I ask, as a non-vet,
yes,
ask a question?
Sure. Type right in.
Did you, about a year ago when this started, I know that it's no fragrance and no low dust, but did you change brands of the cat litter?
No, same one, because I love it, because I think it worked so good for her.
Mm. And it worked for 6 years prior to that, huh?
Yes.
You know what? I would think I would try. I think I would try adding another litter box because, we said this earlier in the show briefly, but I went to a behavior course and the behaviorists said that they often find that cats who defecate outside the box have had at least one painful experience defecating, and I wonder if she would consider going in a new place that isn't the place that she had the bad experience. Maybe try that. Maybe just try another box. If your current box has a cover, maybe try one without a cover in a totally different location. Use the same litter. I would keep that consistent and see if she uses that one. And because it maybe she's got a little PTSD from an aversive event last year. and she just won't go back to it.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. I did not. Yeah.
Worth a try.
That's great.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. This email. Okay. Rick, you're on my list, and you're on the good. You're not on the naughty list. You're on the good list. Happy story for Ray.
Yay.
For the longest time. That's right. Rick writes, for the longest time, every time I left my house or came home, I could just barely see my dog looking over the windows. So I built him a platform, and my friend carpeted it. And now he can see the comings and goings of the entire neighborhood all day, and I don't feel as bad when I back out of the driveway.
Aww.
Isn't that
nice? That's a great story.
You.
Thanks, Rick.
800-348-2551 if you have a question for Dr. Dallas and Dr. Sekulli today on this edition of Pets at Vets. And Barbara's in Hadley. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
You're on.
Okay. I had a cat who was totally stuffed up and miserable. We went to the vet and we tried this and that and the other thing. At the end of which, the vet finally threw up his hands and said, okay, go home and try this. Put Vicks VapoRub under the cat's chin. It's a place where the cat can't lick it off, but the vapors find their way up into the nose and around his face and eyes and stuff and see what happens. So a lot of sneezing and cleaned right out. And so when she gets stuffed up, we put Vicks VapoRub under her chin.
Well,
life is good.
Let me ask these two vets, would you recommend that sort of thing?
I'd have to look at the ingredients list, but I mean, I've used peppermint oil.
It has peppermint and menthol.
Menthol,
yeah. That's, and that's, I don't know what the
as
base is.
As long as you only use a teeny amount, and you're right, then they don't lick at it per se.
Yeah.
I have to say, I use Vicks VapoRub sometimes too, yes.
Yeah.
When I'm really congested.
Yeah.
All right, Barbara,
so,
thank you for that one.
Good catch. Thank you. We like our.
You know, in my house, a lot of people have allergies, and I don't know what the generic name is, but Flonase, you know, it's spritz, and it works very well. Do they have anything like that for the critters?
I don't know.
Not specifically. And again, I think the challenge is any of those medications, they work for a little bit, but not chronically to affect it.
Yeah.
All right, let's grab another call or two before the next break. It's Pets and Vets today. 800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Chris Dallas and Dr. Susan Sekulli join us. Debbie in Glens Falls. Debbie, you're on.
Hi. I have a 9-year-old Border Collie mix, and she has got tested positive for anaplasmosis.
Mm-hmm.
And she's had it for a few years, and not really anything symptomatic has come up. But about 4 months ago, she just got really bloated and lethargic, and I wondered if having it, like, is it dietary important if you have that? Because I know in people, some people get a resistance to beef, and I was feeding her beef.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
I don't think I'm not sure anybody's identified that yet in dogs. And that I know that is with the Lyme disease. But, I mean, it's possible she got another anaplasma infection. So if she's testing positive persistently on her test that we do, which is tests for antibodies, she can get a new infection and you wouldn't necessarily know unless you ran an extra test called a PCR, which tests for the actual organism.
They did. Okay.
I have only caught one case on a positive on a PCR. I'm not sure how sensitive it is. And so I've kind of given up on that test. But I do think that dogs are getting reinfected frequently. And it seems like anaplasmosis is showing up more than Lyme these days. Mm. And it can have GI side effects for some dogs. And I think for people, too, because I've talked to some folks who've had it. I guess I would say play around with the diet a little bit, but I don't know of any, I have not heard reports of dogs developing like sensitivity to certain proteins after an anaplasma infection. It's a great question. I'd probably go look that up and see if there's been any reports.
Do they put them on doxycycline initially?
Not necessarily. Because most dogs are positive at this point, we kind of wait for them to be symptomatic.
Interesting.
You know, 95%.
Right, this one, right, that's
95% of them are completely immune.
Sorry, this is the cat person. person asking these questions.
Yeah, I like it. No, carry on.
Well, I had anaplasmosis.
Oh, you did?
Right in 2020 when I thought it was COVID, and I get a positive, and they put me on doxy.
So were you symptomatic? Like,
I was.
You were.
I was
sick. Yeah. So that's the thing is I think most dogs are testing positive without the symptoms.
Sort of watching.
Yeah, exactly.
Got
so
it.
We've stopped putting them on chronic meds. Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was a mass. It was she was so bloated. So
oh wow.
We did an X-ray, an ultrasound, and then a blood test. So
it may be worth doing a round of doxy just to see, because I have treated them even years after the positive, because now I don't know when they're acting weird. Is it a new positive or is it not? Because I don't always rely on the PCR. So, I mean, it's not wrong to do a round of doxy to see, how she does with it, or play around with her diet first, which would, not involve medication at least.
Yeah, that's what I've been, I've eliminated all beef from her diet. She does seem better, so I just didn't know if you had heard.
No, I had not heard that.
Debbie, we got to take a break here, but thank you for the call. It's Pets and Vets today. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas, and you will check the email bag in a moment. Oh, that tired routine called love. Oh, I could go on and on. That's J.J. Johnson on the trombone, 800-348-2551. Yes, it's Pets and Vets today. Let's check the email bag, voxpop@wamc.org. Denise writes in, subject heading, respiratory sneezing. Hello, respiratory sneezing might be helped by using low-dust, fragrance-free cat litter. And we did touch upon that.
We did, yes.
Unfortunately, those
are the easy things we can fix for those. But typically, they're not full of mucusy stuff.
Right.
So will food allergies do that, though? Or will that manifest in itchiness and things like that?
Yeah, I'd say so. I could argue that, highly processed food might set some cats up to not be able to fight the chronic viruses that they have.
Yeah.
But I would not call it a direct allergy.
Food allergy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is from Jen. When I was young, people used to say, if you have cats, you've got worms. I recently mentioned this to my neighbor, and now she is convinced she has a tapeworm. So I have to ask, is it true? Well, it's a little tough via email for them to answer the question, but what do you think? Does her neighbor have a tapeworm?
Well, if she's eaten a flea, it's possible.
Okay.
That's the only way to get a tapeworm that I know of.
I think they're species-specific.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember which ones are I don't think they're zoonotic tapeworms.
Zoonotic.
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about this. I saw a terrible ad from, the late 1800s. It was a magazine ad, and they were selling them as diet aids.
Oh.
To people in the Victorian era.
I feel like I've heard that before.
How ridiculous is that?
That might still be happening.
So,
I feel like I've heard that.
It's
around.
Kind of like the late 1800s Wegovy.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I'm sorry. Don't sue me. It's not anything like it. This is from Mike. My dog is 4 years old. She's a rescue who was born deaf and abused. She's happy and healthy. She has a huge skin tag on her elbow, causes no pain. I'm concerned she may snag it, though. Any suggestions? I do have very limited funds. I'm with you there, Mike. What do you guys think?
Oh, on an elbow. That's a tough spot. That's hard to say without seeing it, but I guess I would just keep an eye on it.
Oh, my gosh. Somebody's on the... That's a new one. Well, you know what? Let's go back to the phones. Hi, who's on line 3? Who's this? She doesn't know she's on.
Hello, are you getting me?
Yes, hello. Welcome to the show, inexplicably. Yes, you're on. Who is this?
Oh, okay. I didn't even get an answer on my phone. At any rate, this is Peg, and I've had a cat with with respiratory problems for years because of a grub that was up her nose when I found her as a stray, and we pulled it out, but it's messed up her nose. But I've helped that a lot with a coolness vaporizer where she stays most of the time. And if she sleeps in a certain room, it helps an awful lot.
Oh, vaporizer. Interesting. Okay, well, what do you all think of that?
It's a humidifier.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yes.
It's a humidifier. You can get them. It's a coolness humidifier. And at any rate, as far as the litter for the other lady, I found that they like it. They kind of kick it around a lot, But there's a horse pellet. It's not the pellet you put in a wood stove. It's a pure pine pellet.
Yeah.
The actual, some of the stores carry it, and it's like 40 pounds of it, but it's pine pellets.
And
it's cheaper, and the cats like it. And mm-hmm. I found I've switched over that. It would help with a lot of problems.
Hey, Peggy, good. Where are you calling from?
I'm right now from my call, but I'm from Westerlo, New York. I have used Sue Seguli, you know, in the past, and she's very good back.
Well, she's nodding here.
Thanks, Peg.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Who knows? If you dial the number, you might just get right on the air. We're going to find out. Let's go to Steve in Who's a Tonic. Steve, you're on.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, welcome.
I have 4 dogs in my home. And only one is having, people keep calling it hot spots. He'll get a red spot on his legs, and then he'll start licking it and gnawing at it, licking at it. Next thing you know, it's raw and it's even bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly what causes it. And I've been at a local tractor store and bought something that said it was for hot spots, and I apply it constantly. Doesn't seem to make any difference.
Hmm.
What am I doing right or wrong?
Yeah, so if he can still get to that spot, he will, I think his chewing and licking at it will override any products you put on it. So I would invest in a good e-collar, one of those Elizabethan collars, which will be a little chaotic with 3 other dogs in the house, but it's going to be probably the only way to keep him away from that. And then keep applying whatever this product is. If it's gone to a deeper level, he might need oral antibiotics instead of topical. But I would try...
Sulfa something is on the label.
Okay.
But again, what should I look at a different food for him, or...
You could. I mean, if you're noticing that it happens more during certain seasons, like spring and fall, then it may just be related to a seasonal allergy. But it's basically his skin is having an outbreak to something that he's probably allergic to. And so he'll develop like a hive under his fur, which you probably don't even notice, but he's noticing it. And then he starts to chew at it and then causes a secondary infection. So that's basically what a hot spot is.
I can see like a silver dollar size spot that will start getting pink.
Yep.
He has very thin white fur.
That's it.
Silver size.
Yep.
And it'll just get pink.
Mm-hmm.
And then it must be getting itchy and he starts on it.
You got it. That's why it helps to have the collar so he can't chew at it. Because really, he's the one creating the hot spot, believe it or not. He's got the hive and he's having a true allergic reaction, but the trauma from him chewing it himself is really what gets it infected and causes it to break open.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
So you got to keep him away from it.
Should I try different food?
Depends. If it's happening on the outside of his limbs or if you're noticing it during certain seasons, it may just be an environmental allergen that's affecting him. But certainly food is something you can control. You can't control the grass and the pollens around you. So you can give it a try.
Okay.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, Steve. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it very much. Did you say an Elizabethan collar?
Literally. Yeah. We call them e-collars, but it stands for Elizabethan.
Wow, that must look demented. I've never seen that before.
Oh, really?
It's the hard plastic. They hurt, too.
Yeah.
I've seen the cones.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's what it is.
You know, like
No, it's the collar. We call them e-collars.
Yeah, okay. We call the cone. Cone of shame, I think.
Cone of shame. Sally's in Pittsfield. Sally, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I have a question. I was visiting my sister recently, and she has a rescue dog. And when I arrived, the dog kind of snarled at me. But then, you know, we kind of parted ways. But then a couple of days later, the dog totally unprovoked just ran to me and bit me.
Oh.
And it was quite a significant bite. Mm. I mean, I had to go to the doctor who put me on an antibiotic and dressed the wound. But I'm just wondering... do I need to be concerned if I go to visit my sister again that this dog is going to bite me again?
Yes, I would definitely be concerned, and I would ask your sister to do a couple of things. I think she should, the dog should be put in a crate or in another room when visitors come, and she should definitely talk to a behaviorist about this issue, because that is when a dog bites and breaks skin, we have a serious problem, and that can escalate. So, yes, I would definitely have not let the dog be around you loose, and it should definitely be crated or in a room when you or anyone else comes to the house.
Has the dog bit anyone else? Just you?
Yes, it did. It bit a child. A significant number of years ago.
Okay.
But other than that, it was
dog's got to go.
I did ask.
She should get some professional help with that for sure.
All right, Sally, thanks a lot and good luck. Let's go to Lynn in Vernon, New Jersey. Hello, Lynn, you're on.
Hi. I've only had two cats, and the second one, they were both great. The second one was a black cat. And he lived to be 21.
Wow.
But he was really special. My husband was murdered, and the cat would not leave my side, but he wouldn't eat either. For a long time, he didn't eat. Now, sometimes my husband would go away, but I guess at some point, he figured he wasn't coming back, and he stopped eating. Then he eventually did eat again. Do I increase my chances of getting another cat like that if I get a black cat?
Well, I've loved my tuxedo, which is mostly black.
And the orange nails. Orange males.
Yeah. I think it's the male cat increases your chances of getting a really cool cat. I think the males are more chill in general.
There's some calicos that are amazing.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, this one liked to play and make me pray sometimes. Is that okay?
You can pick, you know what, you'd probably just have to meet that cat and decide, you know, when you meet him.
You'll know when you meet that right cat.
Good luck.
Lynn, thanks a lot. 800-348-2551, that's our telephone number here on Vox Pop, Pets and Vets, with Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas. Let's grab an email or two before we get back to the phones. This is from Rue in Forestburg, New York. I have a 6-year-old, very healthy cat who came to me as a stray, but is very well adjusted. She's an indoor-outdoor cat with her own door, loves being outside in good weather. I'm moving from a large freestanding home with lots of outdoor space to a smaller apartment on the 3rd floor of a building in town. Has a small patio. My question is, how can I help acclimate Claudette with C-L-A-W, that's a very cool Claudette, to her new environment, and what might I expect as far as behavior? And that's from Rue in Forestburg, New York.
Wow. Boy, that's going to be a big change for that kitty cat.
Third floor. I mean, is that safe to put the cat out on the patio, out on the...
I think so. I don't think the cat will go. The recommendations behavioralist will say is make sure you think of high, you know, cat trees and vertical surfaces and put shelving up and really... look at, there's some wonderful online, you know, ideas out there to make it at least look as outdoorsy as you can. Mm. Like it's sort of neat what's now available, and it still looks good in your apartment. Yeah. It's sort of fun.
That's cool.
Oh my gosh. You know what? Sometimes those things don't work though. I remember my brother and his wife got a new cat, and my brother built these beautiful towers, carpeted and cubby holes in them and everything else. The cat didn't use a thing for 3 years.
Oh,
it took a long time.
No.
I suggested my brother use it, but he couldn't squeeze in. Let's go to Karen in Greenwich, or is it Greenwich? Where are you calling from, Karen? Which state, New York or Connecticut?
Hello, I'm calling from Greenwich, New York.
Well, you're on the air. Hello.
Wonderful. So I think you may have answered my question with the man who called in a couple people ago, but my Coco is a 10-year-old, mostly spot hound rescue dog, and she developed an allergy about 3 months ago. She was healthy all her life, but she wouldn't stop scratching her sides. And so the vet gave her a couple different medicines, and it did help, but it didn't go away. And then she started chewing on her right rear foot. Like really chewing on it down to the tissue of her toes, like the fur was completely gone and everything else. And so she's now on 2 antibiotics, a painkiller, an anti-itch medicine, and a steroid. And she has new food, but she's still chewing. So So I asked about the cone of shame, and the vet wouldn't give me one because she says it's like keeping them in a prison.
Well,
so should I get her a cone of shame?
Well, one other thing I'm thinking about is I'm wondering if she could be having some neuropathy, because at 10, she's old enough to have some tingling or something that's bothering her. So it would be unusual for an allergy to present on just one foot. So I'm kind of suspicious that something else could be going on with her. But as far as getting her to at least break the cycle, so those antibiotics and maybe antifungals, if she's got yeast on there, can kind of actually do their job. I personally, yes, I would use an e-collar for that. So, but if you heal it with the e-collar and the medications and she goes back to that foot, I would start considering looking at potential pain. Or tingling, like a neuropathy. Yeah.
All right.
And can I just get one of those from Chewy.com or something?
Oh, yeah. And I think even like our local pet stores carry them, yeah. Pensons and what have you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Karen. How big can these cone of shames, I mean, can they fit on humans? Because I know a few that, let's see.
Great behavioral modification.
Exactly. Yeah. People. I sentence you to the cone of shame. Heather in Falls Village, Connecticut. You're on. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I had a friend once who kenneled dogs, and she was just wonderful with them. Everybody around loved her. Her cure for hot spots, I had Hungarian poolies, and it worked for me, was Vicks Vapor Rub.
Wow.
She would put that and
the same thing. Wow.
You know,
wow.
Heather, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but that came up. Vicks came up with regard to upper respiratory sneezing and stuff. So that's amazing.
Funny. And I make my own hot spot remedy with fresh.
Wait a minute. It wasn't Vicks Vapor Rub. It was the thing for hemorrhoids.
Ah, Preparation H. Yes. Are you sure it wasn't Hellman's mayonnaise or anything, right?
No, it was Preparation H.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't even know what's in that, but fresh aloe with lavender, eucalyptus, and tea tree oils does the trick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Well, Heather, thank you very much.
Preparation H.
Appreciate the call. Thanks for listening over in Connecticut, and it's been one weird show. I got to be honest with you. This has been a weird one. One for the books. Let's see. Can we grab an email here before the end of this? Oh, worth trying to get the cat to use the appropriate litter box. There's a product called Cat Attract that one sprinkles on top of current litter box or new litter box, and it does sometimes really, really help a cat start using it appropriately. This comes from years and years and years of having multi-cats. So there you go.
Dr. Elsie's.
Yeah, do you know this product?
Yes.
And oh, yeah.
We do.
Has it worked in your experience?
In some, yes, absolutely. It's worth a try. Mm. They even make a litter called Dr. Ilse's Cat Attract Litter rather than just the supplement.
Mm. Okay. Well,
yeah, worth it.
Yeah, I'm at a loss. Let's go to Philip in Albany. Philip, you have 30 seconds. Go ahead, man.
All right, thank you for the time. I'll keep it quick. Thank you. I love you guys. All right, I'm an avid camper. Tick season has started. I just spent 3 days between Schoharie and Oneonta at a campsite, came back, 6 ticks on my dog, one of myself on a bus. I had a dermatologist. It just happened to work out that way.
It's a bad season.
Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How bad is it? Like, but I think some of the ticks on my dog were local because I live in the Albany area and I take them to the woods by 6 miles.
Yeah.
The road.
Delmar, yep.
So, okay. Yeah, they're bad. Should I get them on antibiotics? Because when I took them off, they didn't. The bites didn't look good.
Not necessarily, but what you could do is go to your vet. You know, maybe when tick season quiets down, and get the 4DX test, which would test for Lyme and Anaplasma. But I would definitely recommend using a preventative when you go out in the woods and spray your own clothes with permethrin.
All right, hey Philip, we're out of time here, buddy. But thanks for the call. All right, so. After this,
that was fun.
Are you going to come back again?
I love this.
Of
course.
Support comes from the Meyer Law Firm, Latham, women-owned, providing counsel without judgment for estate planning and administration. It's not just business, it's personal. The M-E-I-E-R, lawfirm.com. And Ollie, the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at BCC. Let me start it again. semi-professional broadcaster, screws up another underwriting announcement. Ollie, the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at BCC, summer semester beginning in June and July, online and in-person classes, many featuring the 250th anniversary of the American Revolution. BerkshireOllie.org. Okay. Thanks to Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls. All of them. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to Andrea Leong, who screened the calls. Boy, I tell you what, I'm ready for Happy Nappy. Tomorrow on the show, it's gardening. We'll see you at 2 p.m.